السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد. صدق الله العظيم.
علماء كرام, respected brothers, our sisters who listen over receivers, and all listeners over Channel Islam tonight. Over the years we have been listening to talks on the virtues of Laylatul Baraha. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reward our muhaddithin, those who have mastered the science of Hadith Sharif, that they have checked the chain of narrators. They have given us the information of which narrator was reliable, which narrator was not reliable, which Hadith Sharif is Sahih Hadith, which Hadith Sharif is weak, which Hadith is fabricated. Now, all these type of things we have been informed of. As far as the virtues of the night of Barat is concerned, there is no doubt that there are a number of ahadith. We find them in different kitabs. Although the narrators may not be to the standard of Hazrat Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh, his standard was very, very high. However, when there are a large number of ahadith expounding the virtues of Laylatul Baraa, so we have no doubt that it is a very, very significant night. It may not be the night that is mentioned in the ayat of Surah Dukhan, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. It may not be that ayat referring to Laylatul Baraat, because Allah Ta'ala talks about إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ. So there's a consensus, and the Quran Sharif itself is very, very clear on the issue that the Quran Sharif was revealed in the night of Qadr. So that ayat, although some Mufassireen have said that it is related to Laylatul Baraat, but the majority say that it is definitely Laylatul Qadr, because the Quran Sharif says Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. But to reconcile those who have said that it all refers to Barat, they say that it is the decision that was taken in the night of Barat. The revelation took place in the night of Qadr, but that decision was made in the night 15th of Shaban. Whatever it may be, but there are a number of ahadith. We find them in Durul Mansur, we find them in so many other kitabs, in Tirmizi Sharif, in Bukhari Sharif, and other ahadith kitabs you'll find about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fasting extensively in the month of Shaban. Now that is proven there, that it is to fast extensively. Then in other kitabs also we'll find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that why do I find you so desirous of fasting so much in the month of Shaban? All other months Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not keep as many fasts as he kept in the month of Shaban. It was only in the month of Ramadan that he kept the whole month of fast. And besides that, the only other month was Shaban, where sometimes he kept fast for almost the whole month. I'm not going into the detailed discussion. We don't have the time to go into all technical discussion, and there's no need for that. We must take lessons. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned the reason why he was fasting abundantly in the month of Shaban. And the reason that he gave is that the book of deeds are presented before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he was desirous that when his book of deeds are presented, or according to some ahadith, that it is the night when the decision is made of maut and hayat, that those people who are going to pass away in the coming year, their names are moved on to the list of the dead ones. So whatever it may be, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it is my desire that when my book of deeds are presented, then I be from those people who are fasting. So that was his desire, that the book of deeds must be presented in a state that he is a fasting person. Now if you look at the other ahadith, because of the number of them that have been related, so even if there is a slight weakness in the chain of narrators somewhere, but all of them put together, then they carry weight. And when it comes to virtues, when it comes to fazail, then the muhaddithin, they have accepted the practice upon those ahadith, because it is not something of halal and haram. For halal and haram, they don't accept any hadith sharif in which even if there is a slight weakness in some narrator. Now that is a different discussion, I don't wish to go into that, but what I am saying is this, that there is great virtue in this night of Barat, the 15th night of Shaban. I have discussed over the years many things that have been mentioned with regard to this night, but just again to just list them or recap them without going into detailed discussion and without really giving the complete ahadith. If we have to look at it, that it was Laylatul Barat, the 15th night of Shaban, regarding which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that it is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives more people than the hair on the goats of the Bani Kalb tribe. Now that was a tribe reputed to have the largest number of goat, sheep, cattle, whatever they had. So he said even more than that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives forgiveness in this night. The doors of rahmat and maghfirat are opened up in this night. Decisions are made in this night with regards to maut and hayat. As I said, that it could be that the decision is made, but the list is given in a different night. But the thing is, the decision is made according to most of them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in Ghuniyatul Talibin, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he has mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, quoting Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, again, as I said, it may not be to the standard of Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, but quoting him, he says that 360 doors of rahmat and mercy are opened up in this night. And then towards the latter part of the night, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was again told to raise his head above, and he was shown that all the doors, I'm just giving the gist of that hadith sharif, all the doors of Jannat were opened. And he is being told that the one door, all those people who stayed in ruku, glad tidings for them. The other door, all those people who stayed in sajda, glad tidings for them, happiness for them. The people who stayed in zikr, happiness for them, glad tidings for them. The people who engaged in dua for the night, happiness for them. The people who shed tears before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, repenting for the sins, happiness and glad tidings for such kind of people. In this way, all the doors of Jannat are also open for those people who engage in ibadat, zikr, tilawat in this night. Then we find also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in that night, he gets up and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he got up, one night Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, and then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that before he even removed his clothes, he left. And in one it is mentioned that he went into bed and then he got up, and thinking that Hazrat Aisha is still fast asleep, so not to disturb her, I'm just giving you a meaning and an explanation, not to disturb her, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the words are used, qaman nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasalam ruwaidan. He got up very, very gently, and I explained this many times, that his beloved wife Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but he does not want to disturb her sleep. Says Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up very gently. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after that it is mentioned, wa ta'ala ruwaidan, wa fataha al-baba ruwaidan, wa aghlaqa al-baba ruwaida. Everything he did very, very gently. There was no big din and big noise and disturbance to the whole neighborhood, the way we go about our affairs. That we come any part of the night, we don't even think where that who is in the neighborhood, people are fast asleep. The noise that we make, the din that we make. And especially if we are having some functions in our house, then at that time everything becomes halal for us. We must not look at the disbelievers or the people who have got no faith in Allah Ta'ala and in the hereafter. We are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have been taught etiquettes. There's etiquettes for everything. Now here Hazrat Aisha, His beloved wife, but Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam does not even want to disturb her sleep. And yet she would not have been disturbed. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam went away to the Qabristan. He went to the graveyard. Again, just giving the gist, then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and I thought that he went to one of the other wives' homes. Now this is again something that we have to understand, that in the Arab society there was a time when people had many, many wives. It's not a question of Shariat and Islam came and then said that you are allowed to have four wives. At that time people had 20 wives, 30 wives, 50 wives. There was no limit to wives. So Islam came and restricted it. And then again that restriction also that Islam brought, there's a condition there that if you have to take another wife, then these are the conditions. And very, very strict and stringent conditions as far as equality is concerned, which is very, very difficult for us in these days. There is no question of just marrying. Now it has become as if it's a big joke. A person gets involved with a woman and then he says, Maulana, I don't want to commit zina, therefore I want to make nikah. Now he made nikah. After some time, now he got tired of the second one. Again he says, I got involved with another woman and I don't want to commit zina, so I want to make nikah. Now if he's going to carry on like that, then how many nikahs is going to make? So it's not a question of just taking wives. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his wives, there's a whole chapter, there's a whole discussion on it, that if you have to look at his wives beside Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, all of them were widows. And what was the reason for him marrying these women? And how it was helping during that time when people were just coming into the fold of Islam. Each wife was like a madrasa on her own. She was like an organization to teach the women folk that were coming into Islam. Each wife was looking at the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam within the house, how he ate, how he talked, how he walked, how he chatted with his wives, how gentle and pleasant and accommodating he was. How helpful he was inside the house even to the wives. How Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam always walked in with a smile. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam always made salam when he entered the home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was very, very considerate. Now all these things, from whom did we learn if he did not have all these wives? So that is a whole chapter. I'm not going to that discussion. But what I'm saying is that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as a human being, it was natural. She just had this natural feeling that it was her turn, that where did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam go? So when she went in search of him, she found him in the Qabristan, in the graveyard, and he was praying there for the deceased, for all those who were buried there. Because the graveyard of Madina Sharif is one of those graveyards where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat descends unlimited. Or it is that graveyard. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, on the day of Qiyamah, first I will rise. And on my right will be Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And on my left will be Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala an who set out from his house to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What did he set out for? He took his sword to go and assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him guidance. And now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he will rise. Hazrat Abu Bakr will rise and he will rise. And then he'll have both of them on his side. And at present also he sleeps there. So it shows there's no question of losing hope. There's no such thing as despairing of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Lots of people say, I've committed a lot of sins now, what must I do? I don't think there's any such thing as forgiveness for me. So then that person is thinking that he is greater than Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, it is not sufficient to gain him forgiveness. His sins are so much that now Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is not sufficient for him. So this is pride, that the person is thinking that I've committed so much of sins. Or even if the person was a disbeliever, one person was saying all his life, yeah, the person was all his life praying to an idol. Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, he was saying. And just one day he said, Ya Samad. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him hidayat. He took Allah Ta'ala's name, Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. So Allah Ta'ala's doors of mercy are open at all times. What is required is sincere repentance. The person must regret. He must be ashamed over the sins that he has committed. He must make up his mind that he does not want to return to those sins. It's not a question of just coming to the masjid, shedding some tears in some program, and then going away and think everything is maaf, and as soon as we go outside, we head for those same places again of sin. It must be sincere repentance. Accidentally again, if the person committed some sin, then you have heard many, many times from this servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ashar of Hazrat Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayh. Ye kushti to hai unse umr bhar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharal koshish to aashiq na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. This wrestling match between nafs and between oneself and shaitan, between oneself and his own egos and nafs, that will continue till his dying day. There's no question of the person being given some kind of guarantee that now shaitan is not going to trouble you anymore. There's no such thing. Until the dying day, until the very last breath, shaitan is going to trouble the person. He's going to try to deviate him. He's going to take him into the rave clubs and discos, or try to take him into all the haram places. There will be that temptation that will be coming all the time in the heart and mind of this person. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi baharal koshish to aashiq na chode. Now in this wrestling match, sometimes he will be dominant, sometimes shaitan will overpower him. That will continue. But then even if he fails 100 times, he must not give up hope. He must not remain in the gutter line. If a person slips and falls into the gutter, then he must not remain there. He must get up, rush to the bathroom, change, have a shower, change his clothes, put some perfume. So this person, this is what he must do. This rishta of muhabbat with Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, is something that is ingrained in the heart of a believer. Any person who looks at all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, he just cannot help loving Allah. People want to know, how do we develop the love of Allah? How else can we develop the love of Allah but by pondering and reflecting over all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala? This very moment I am speaking in the English language, you are understanding. This is a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. If I was speaking Chinese or Greek, will you understand? So who is it that's doing all the translation and everything else in the head? Who is it that made that mechanism? Who is it that gave us the ability to listen and to be able to understand? Our sight, we are looking. Now who is it that gave us the sight? Ponder over every part of our body. Our hands, look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how He made the nails in the right places. If these fingernails, if the whole hand had to be like the nails, what would have happened? Could we have eaten? How much of difficulty we would have had? Now in the mother's stomach, who is the one that put the nails in the right place? In the mother's stomach, why did the nails grow only at the tip of the fingers and not over the face and over the rest of the body? And look at our heart and our mind and our intelligence and everything else. Who is it that is making all the computer chips and everything else? People whom Allah Ta'ala has given a chip in the head. So that is how you develop the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, Jo na kaam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. We are the lovers of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we just give up? We say, well, never mind, if Allah Ta'ala is displeased, so what's there? Can anybody be happy after that if Allah Ta'ala is displeased? Whose life today is a happy one? A small percentage of the community, and that is those people who have got a taluk and a connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only they are happy within. Believe me, only this very small percentage throughout the world have got true and real happiness within their hearts. Because the heart is the place where Allah Ta'ala either puts happiness in there Oh Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts misery in there. It is in the heart. When Allah ta'ala's azab and punishment comes, the first place of attack is the heart. Because the heart is the king. And the person did not use his heart correctly, he gave his heart to all the wrong things. So the first azab comes on the heart. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, without his love, the person can never be at ease and he can never be in peace. How many times again you have heard, jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jaan mein. O Allah, with whomsoever you are pleased, then that person is in gardens day and night. We don't say that that person won't have grief, he won't have sorrow, he won't have pain. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when his child passed away, Ibrahim, he said, Ya Ibrahim, inna bi firaqika lamahzunun. We are grieved at your departure from us. We are grieved at your separation from us. So many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the incidents of the Anbiya of the past, the prophets of the past. And look at the grief and the sorrow they had to go through. Look at the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How much of grief, how much of sorrow, how much of pain. But each and every one of them, they had gardens in their heart. Because they had the gaze on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they knew that whatever they are doing, it is for pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And these are all tests and trials. So within their heart they found peace and happiness and contentment. Outwardly there was pain, outwardly there was suffering, but not one of them ever committed suicide. Did we hear of any one companion of the Prophet ﷺ, even though he was stoned, even though he was tortured, even though big stones were placed on his chest, even though they were dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Sharif, even though they were hanged, even though whatever happened to them, they were boycotted and ostracized, but did we find one of them saying that I'm so depressed now that I want to take my life? Not one person. Why? Because it was Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. Allah was with them. They knew that our Allah is watching every move of ours. And they knew that these are tests from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tested them, but He made their hearts gham proof. Just as we have watches which are waterproof, that you go deep down the ocean and not one drop of water goes into that watch. So if man can make a watch which is waterproof, so if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made their hearts gham proof, that means that sorrow, that grief and everything remained outside the heart. Now we say, how can that happen? We have seen flowers, they bloom in the midst of thorns. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we must ponder over His ni'mats, His bounties, so that will make us love Him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we come back onto what we were discussing. So he went to the graveyard, he was praying there. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and returned home quickly. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came back, then he asked, Oh Aisha, why is this? Why are you breathing so heavily? What is... Then she mentioned what had happened. That she went in search of him, she found him there, and she thought that he had gone to one of the other wives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, do you think the Prophet of Allah will be unjust? That means in your turn he will go somewhere else. There's no question of injustice as far as the Rasul and the Messenger of Allah is concerned. Again, a very important lesson, that those who due to some necessity have married two wives, then it is extremely important they must be just. There's no place in Islam for injustice, whether it is the parents, whether it is the children, whether it is the wives, whether it's the neighbors, whether it is the young or whether it is the old. There's no place in Islam for any kind of injustice. And this night is for that, that the person asks for forgiveness if he has done any kind of injustice. It's an ideal opportunity that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to us. Every now and again we get some big day, auspicious day, or we get some big night. Now these things make it easy for us to seek forgiveness. Otherwise the person thinks it's below his dignity to ask his wife for forgiveness. How can it be below his dignity when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will become pleased? If a person has abused his wife, or if the wife sometimes has abused the husband, it's both ways. It's not only one way. There are many, many cases where even the wives have been abusive, because they came from a very rich family, They came with the wealth, they came with the car, they came with their other capabilities. She is the working woman. Then sometimes that comes into the head and she feels that I am now the one that wears the pants. So why should I listen to my husband? And sometimes they are the ones that are abusing the husband. And sometimes the husbands that are abusing the wives. So whether it's the wife that has been abusing or whether it's the husband that has been in unjust, whoever it is an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it is the parents who are unjust and sometimes the children who are unjust. Now again, each item is a subject on its own and we can go on the whole night, but we want to just cut it short. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then informs Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that in this night Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He descends to the closest heaven and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala Himself asks, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there anybody seeking pardon that I may give him pardon? Is there any person seeking this or that so that I may grant it to him? Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala Himself is announcing, is there anyone seeking? Now every day we are told that we must seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But if the king of all kings Himself announces, is there anybody who wants any gift from me? And if the person says, no, I don't want anything, what would we think of that person? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala Himself is saying, if you want forgiveness, then this is the night, ask for forgiveness. It is the night of Barat, ask for forgiveness. If you want risk and sustenance, then ask for it. That means make your taqdeer tonight. Make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make a decision of khair for us tonight. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informs Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha of why he had gone to the Qabristan. So from that it is said that if a person has to go to the Qabristan, to the graveyard also, it is sunnat, but it should not be like in a very organized fashion. It must not become like farz, wajib. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you go? Why didn't you fast? Why didn't you fast? Why didn't you stay awake whole night? Why didn't you stay awake whole night? So we must not be pointing fingers at others and don't make anything that is not farz, wajib, sunnat into farz, wajib, sunnat. Whatever is farz will remain compulsory. What is not farz, it will never be compulsory. So we must look at our own actions and our own deeds. That how far have we gone? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made extra ibadat in this Mubarak night. There are so many other hadiths which mention many things. That Allah, he also informed Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that Allah ta'ala forgives everyone. Except the person who is an idol worshipper. He associates partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is becoming a very, very common trait in the society, Muslim societies around the globe now, that when people are desperate, in a desperate position and situation, and when they cannot seem to find any kind of solution to their problems, so then they hasten towards those things which are totally prohibited and forbidden. Even in our country, there are so many people that then go to sangomas, and they are made to do certain things which are completely kufr or shirk. So therefore turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Everything is in His hands and in His control. At present we are getting a lot of publications. Dua for this, dua for that, dua for that. Indeed that is, those things are there in the Hadith Sharif. And it is in the kitabs. If a person reads this wazifa so many times, this will happen. If the person reads this tasbih so many times, this will happen. But we have taken those taweezes and tasbihs to be now Allah. That they are such things that if we have to tie a few taweezes around our bodies, so then finish, Allah Ta'ala's azab cannot come to us anymore. In our homes we will watch all the filth on the television screen. And we will listen and download everything on from the internet, from the porn sites. We will listen to all the filthy music. We will engage in adultery, fornication and every kind of sin. And then when we are restless, when we've got all kinds of problems, then we run to somebody that's giving out taweezes and we'll pay any kind of money also, and they make a fool of us and they make us come and go, and some people's whole properties have been wiped out in the process. So these taweezes and all are there, they have got a place, but we must not think that they will stop and prevent the azab of Allah Ta'ala coming because of our sins. If the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is descending because of our sins, then you think all these taweezes and all these wazifas can stop it. The person is reading on the one hand wazifa so many thousand times some name of Allah Ta'ala, and he is disobeying that same Allah. People want to know why in the world people are suffering so much, yet millions of people are making hajj. Millions of people are going to Kaaba Sharif and Madina Sharif. Millions of people are tearing by the Multazam. Then why is it that people are still suffering? Why is the Ummah still going through such kind of hardships and problems and so much kind of suffering? When such pious, pious people are going there and shedding tears for the Ummah, and when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself made so much of dua for the Ummah. I have given this example before also, that if a son has been disobedient to his father and the whole world is coming and telling the son or telling the father that forgive your son. Why have you chased him out of your house? Just forgive him. He's your son after all. Now the father says that I got no problem. I am sending messages to him that come and say once, I am sorry and I will forgive you. Now when they go to the son and tell him that go one time and tell your father I am sorry, he is prepared to accept you. Whatever you have done, he is prepared to accept you, he is prepared to overlook whatever you have done. Just go and tell him one time I am sorry. Now the son says, why must I say I am sorry? I got car, I got home, I got cell phone, I got everything. Why must I go and tell him sorry? So will the father ever forgive that person? In the same way, the whole Ummah is going there. Lots of pious people are going there and they are shedding tears that Ya Allah, change the condition of the Ummah. Give them peace and happiness and protection. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through the Quran Sharif and through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that He is willing to accept us whatever condition we are, provided we sincerely repent and turn towards Him. Now when we are informed and told that get rid of sins from your lives, all the wazifas and all are voluntary. If a person is told to work from 8 to 5, he doesn't come to work from 8 to 5. And after 5 he comes and sweeps outside the shop. And when the boss asks him, what are you doing now? He says, well, I love you so much that I started sweeping outside here to keep the area clean outside. So, but where were you from 8 to 5? So his duty he is not doing, and something that he was not supposed to do voluntarily out of muhabbat is doing it. Will that be acceptable? So in the same way here, what is farz, what is compulsory, we are not doing. To read 5 times namaz, that we say fajr namaz, getting up maulana is very difficult. Zuhar namaz, we say very busy in the shop, very very busy. Asr namaz, say 4 o'clock maulana, how can we leave our shop and go for namaz? And 5 o'clock hour, we are hungry because in the morning we only had one slice sandwich, one slice toast. So now we are very hungry. And by Isha we are so tired that we don't have the time to read namaz. Now the majority, 70% of the Ummah is in this state. Then how do we expect the change to come? How do we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy to descend? And believe me, we can take a billion qasams in the masjid and say, the day the Ummah gives up its sins and fulfills the rights of people, the day the Ummah fulfills whatever obligation is on the shoulders, fulfills all the farais, wajibat, the Ummah starts fulfilling the rights of the poor, of the needy, of the parents, of the children and everybody else, the total atmosphere and environment will change. People will come into Islam just looking at our character. Now here, look at the consideration that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving to his wife. He does not want to disturb her. And I said many times that we take a lot of lessons from this. That it is not only when we getting up that time we must not make a big noise. But in all our actions we must show extreme caution. We must not create any kind of friction, any kind of problem, any kind of difficulty or hardship for anybody. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the rights when you are walking on the street also. He said, what are the rights? One is that you lower your gaze from haram. Lower your gaze. The street is not a place, or the verandas or the pavements are not places where you stand there just to ogle at women and just to cast lustful glances. That's not the place for that. So there you lower your gaze. The people that are passing, you make salam to them. And if there is anything that is going to cause any kind of obstruction to anyone, then you remove that. Don't create any kind of obstruction for anyone. Now look at our condition. How many times announcements have to be made that car is parked very badly, please park your car. Especially when there is a wedding at that time in many, many masajid, the amount of curses that people get, people are inside. Now they are there engaged in embracing the groom, then embracing the father of the groom, then embracing the brother of the groom, then embracing the whole congregation that is there. Now imagine if there are 1,000 people, each one embracing the father, the groom, and the groom's brother, and now how long it is going to take? And everybody is doing that. Now in the meantime, somebody who just came to read namaz, now he is obstructed. Now if he has to just send a message that please, I am obstructed, I have to leave for the airport, or somebody is very sick in my family, please I've got to go and see or take them to the doctors. I just came here to make namaz. I did not know there was a nikah. So now all right, the nikah took place 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But please get to your cars now and remove your car because I'm obstructed. And just see what they have to tell him. Look at all the beautiful words they will convey to him. So let us try to make some changes. It is not written in any kitab that this is what we should be doing. But it is written that we should not create obstruction for people without necessity. One is it is beyond our control, it is a different thing. But where it is not necessary, and we are creating the obstruction, then we are responsible for it. The same when it comes to our programs, or there too we must be considerate. Many people are listening over the radio stations now, and the month of Ramadan will come, we will have our local radio station. So every person can listen to it in his own home. Now on the one hand, there's qiraat that is coming, there's waaz and nasihat that's coming, there's programs of deen that are coming. Nothing wrong with that, to listen to that, listen to it, nobody stops. But many, many homes there are in many of our areas, in many of our suburbs. There are many homes which are attached to other homes, and they have just thin walls separating them. And on the other side, there is some very sick woman that is there, or there is somebody very sick man there, or there is somebody who has a heart attack and he just returned from the hospital, or somebody has got some other problem, he wants to sleep early so that he can get up early and get to work, or the person is in the habit of sleeping early so that he gets up early for the Fajr prayers. Now, unconcerned, we think that we are doing the whole world a great favor, so we put the radio full blast. And when you ask the person, he says, no, the non-Muslims next door, they must listen to it. When they listen to it, you'll see how they accept Islam. So midnight, we're making them listen to our programs. Now, does this make sense? You won't listen to these things from this mimbar in a hurry. But alhamdulillah, I am saying it to you because that is deen. We have taken these things of deen out of our dictionaries. These were the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the ummah. Consideration for the rights of others. It's their right to sleep early. It's their right to switch off the light and go to sleep. It's the right of the poor, it's the right of the sick person that he must be given some kind of peace. So if a person wants to listen, there's no problem. After 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock, if you still want to listen, then put earplugs and then listen through it. There are so many other gadgets that are available now where you can listen without disturbing the other person. Now in prisons also we get that kind of complaint sometime, that there are a number of our Muslim brothers who are in prison. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy for their release and for their sincere tawbah from whatever sins they made. And if they did not commit sins and they are there in prisons because of some unjust government arresting them for no other sin except that they were inviting towards deen, or they were propagating the message of the Quran and the Sunnah, then we must make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give hidayat to those governments to release them from those prisons where they are facing such kind of test and trial and such kind of torture and pain and suffering they're going through. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have mercy on them. It is very, very difficult, but we will make dua for them. But in prisons also, because of the radio station beaming even there, so there are lots of non-Muslims sometimes there, and our Muslim prisoners will have it full blast. Now we think that that is some kind of great service we are doing. So everywhere there is a lesson to take just from this one incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Consideration. There must be consideration. Then if we look at some of the other ahadith, if we have to take each item and discuss it, we can carry on. But we find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, having mentioned about the decision of life and death being made in this night, and the list being handed over to the angels. Now that, again, as I said, that those who take that ayat to mean Laylatul Qadr, so then they say the decision was made in this night, and the list is given there, and some have said that the list is given in this night, that they are separated. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person is marrying, but his name is already in the list of the dead. He is making his nikah, but it's not that he's going to die someday. His name is already in the list of the dead. Tonight it is given over to the angel that this person, his life must be taken certain place, certain time. How many deaths have taken place recently? Here in this very masjid, I was waiting for one groom to arrive just 2 or 3 weeks back. So what happened? Why is he delayed? They said, no, he is delayed because his cousin, who was also coming, met up with an accident and the cousin passed away. So I asked how long it's going to take for the groom to arrive. They said about 10-15 minutes. So I was giving them a short nasihat. And what I mentioned was this. I said, how true it is. Of course, first of all, we sympathize with the person that, and we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless him with Jannatul Firdaus, because the form of shahadat, I mentioned that. And then I said, zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa. I said, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohd Akhtar Sahab, damat barakatum. I said, on his writing pad, he's got, zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom, aur usme tausi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad uski nahi maloom. Very, very strange is this visa of life. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala recalls it, nobody knows. Kab bula le khuda nahi maloom. An extension of this visa of life is impossible. No amount of bribe will work with the angel of death. Extension is impossible. And the best part is that the duration of time of the visa also is unknown. Nobody knows. So I was just mentioning this, and whilst I was mentioning that, suddenly one friend comes, Maulana, there's a call for you. What is the problem, bhai? Says, your brother-in-law, he just closed his house, and he just walked outside, and he collapsed, and he passed away. Said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then a few days later, we had one person come here for Zuhr Salat, and in the Salat, suddenly he started breathing heavily, and then after the Salat, he said, my Allah is calling me. And they rushed him to the hospital and he passed away. Somebody had passed away in Newcastle, and this family, they were rushing for the janaza and just come close to Newcastle, accident, and all three, the two children and the old woman passed away. Like this, so many places it is happening. So many places. There is no question of getting some kind of information beforehand that your death will take place on a certain date, so you must be ready and be prepared. That only those people who are going to be hanged, probably they tell them about. So if anybody wants advance information, so then that is the only way, becomes one of those. So then they'll give you advance information, certain day, certain time, you'll be injected to death or hanged. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this death he kept a secret. We don't know when the time comes for the person. We just don't know when. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badanta muattar kafanta jo qabre kohan uski ukhdi to dekha na uzve badanta na tare kafanta. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badanta muattar kafanta. How many times we have seen that those people, and I'm repeating this many, many times, I've repeated it because we get many young people coming from different bayans. How many people we have seen, young, fit, healthy, jogging, running, skipping, everything going for the flashy cars, cell phones of the latest model, and everything. Unconcerned. Rave clubs, discos, cinemas, theatres, porn sites, everything. Why? Because they got everything going for them. Bodies also, all the time, jogging, running, skipping, fit and healthy. And when they died also, because of the affluence, they were given very, very expensive coffin. He says, but after that, when after some time, when we open the qabr, na uzwe badan tha, na tare kafan tha. No sign of the thread of the kafan also there. And no sign of the body also. So this is a world of means. It does not mean that now we must give up all the means. It's a world of means. So it doesn't mean that we must give up the means. We will still do everything. The person, it does not mean now that the person mustn't marry at all because his name could have been written tonight in the list of the dead. So now when you tell a young person, get married, he says, I don't know, my name could be written. So now nobody must make any nikah. And when you tell the person that you're going to plant some tree in the garden, he says, why must I plant? Because my name could be in the list of the dead. And the person is going for Hajj, but it is written that it is the person's name could be in the list of the dead. So all those things will carry on. Our planning will carry on. We will still plan. Our businesses we will plan. Our marriages we will plan. Our Hajj we will plan. Everything we will plan. But at the same time we will remember one thing, and that is that the knowledge of where the person is going to die and when he is going to die is with Allah Ta'ala alone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. The five things, the knowledge of which Allah alone has. Qiyamah day, the child in the mother's womb. Not only whether it's male or female, all the details of that child, as I've explained many times. What will be the age of the child, whether the child will grow up into a teacher, doctor, lawyer, scientist, or the child will be a dumb number one, or the child is going to be a pain in the neck for the parents, or the child is going to become a drug addict and go on to intoxicants. Now all the details. And whether this child will go through sicknesses and diseases or will be fit and healthy, all the detail only Allah Ta'ala knows. The rainfall also only Allah Ta'ala knows the details. Look at the number of places where it has been flooded. And man has failed with all his technology to stop those floods. Where is the technology to stop the flooding? And I'm not talking about countries which they term as third world countries. We're talking about first world, so-called first world countries. With all the technology in New Orleans, yeah, they all, what happened to all the technology? When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides to send floods, then no power in the world can stop the floods. In our own province here, we saw what happened. That first the fire was raising thousands of acres of land and forests and animals, and so many things were being destroyed by the fire. And all the firefighters and everything else were being brought. They were searching for water from everywhere just to extinguish those fires. And the next day what happened? So much of snow and so much of rain. When they needed the water, there was no water. And when they did not need the water, that time plenty of rain and plenty of snow. Snow fell in places we never heard of. So who is it that is controlling the whole thing? When man's actions have gone upside down, so everything else has gone upside down. When our actions will come right, then the heavens and the earth will work in our favor. Then the rains will fall when they are required. The crops will grow from the ground in abundance. And everything will be peaceful. But when man becomes an animal on earth, so then everything goes upside down. So we have to be very, very careful where we are, which places we are. Therefore I tell my young friends, please my dear young friends, these are not days of negligence and indifference. First of all, remove all evidence of your sin from your tape recorders, from your cell phones and from your computers and from your pockets and from everything else, because death is coming suddenly, and in many, many cases it's the husband, the wife and the children going in the accidents. And once that happens, then you are exposing all your sins to your whole family and sometimes to the whole society, because those people are now going to read into your cell phones, they are going to read into your computers, they are going to look into what you have been downloading and watching. So when Shaitan begins to tempt you to download another porn film, just ask yourself one question only. What if? That's all. Don't even ask further than that. What if? And you can conclude, what if the angel of death extracts the soul at that time? What kind of respect will that be then? How many people who are in the first saf of the masjid or who are five-time namazis, or those people who have got the zahiri libas, the outward clothing also and garment of pious people, who are we fooling when in the secrecy and privacy of our homes we are watching all the filth? Who are we fooling? The cat puts its stool under the sand all the time and thinks that I have covered my stool. Just one rain is required and see all the stool gets exposed and all the stench and filth is all exposed. Don't let Allah Ta'ala remove that curtain that He has placed with His rahmat and mercy over our sins. Don't challenge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's might. This is a night of repentance, make sincere repentance. So therefore this is another thing, that the person must be very, very conscious of the fact he will make use of everything. Enjoy the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, who has stopped. I always say, give the nafs halal. Don't deprive the nafs of halal, because if you're not going to give it halal and don't give it haram also, then they will say that this person has made my life miserable. Give it halal, stay away from haram. That's all. And I mentioned, I think, in the last talk also, when we were discussing Miraj, that haram, if you have to write it in English, transliterate it, then it is H-A-R-A-A-M. So just look at the word also. In the transliteration, there's already the word harm, H-A-R-M. In haram, there is harm. And lightheartedly, I said that look at the spelling, there's double harm, H-A-R-A-A-M. In everything that is haram, there's double harm. Anything you can take, whether it is drugs or whether it is wine, whether it is women that are illicit and haram, prostitute quarters, discos, cinemas, rave clubs, there's double harm. The person ruins his wealth, he ruins his health, he ruins his respect, he damages his family status and position, he damages everything. There's nothing that the person gets that gives him respect in haram. Look at it across the board, everybody who is engaged in haram. What kind of respect does it bring? So my dear brothers, this night of Barat, there are so many things. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive those people who are disobedient to their parents, those people who are committing adultery and fornication and not making tawbah, those people who are engaged in witchcraft. Now this has again become a very, very common issue. If you don't like somebody, straight away go to some tawizwala, go to some sangoma, go to somebody and say, do something so that this person's business collapses. Do something so that this person falls dead on the ground. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He does not forgive such kind of people even in this Mubarak night. Why should we be jealous of people? The person who is jealous, he is actually angry with Allah Ta'ala. The person who is jealous, he's angry with Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, why did you give so and so intelligence? Why did you give him extra wealth? Why did you give him a good home? Why did you give him a good car? Why did you give him a good wife? Why didn't you ask me first before giving to him? Why didn't you make me a member of your parliament and cabinet? So he's angry with Allah Ta'ala. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? جہنم کی طرف تم کیوں چل رہے ہو حسد کی آگ میں کیوں جل رہے ہو جہنم کی طرف تم کیوں چل رہے ہو خدا کی تقسیم پہ تم ہو ناراض کف افسوس تم کیوں مل رہے ہو Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? That azab is sufficient for that person who is jealous. That his heart is burning all the time. He wants to see somebody being harmed. Why are you going towards the fire of hell? Are you angry with the distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made? Why are you rubbing your palms in regret? Make dua for that person. Allah Ta'ala has given you intelligence, hands, feet, mind. Go to the marketplace. And then whatever you get, be satisfied and content. And don't think that every person who's got plenty of wealth, then he is very, very happy person. Wealth is a very good thing, if it is in the hands of a good person. But many, many people who've got plenty of wealth, good home, good cars, but their lives are filled with restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Ask me. They prefer to be under the surface of the earth than to be on the top of the earth because of the worries and anxieties and problems that they are experiencing. So we don't want that kind of wealth. If the wealth is with barakat, with rahmat, then it's alhamdulillah. There's nothing wrong. It's a good thing. So therefore, if the person is harboring jealousy, malice in his heart, then this is the night that he must make sincere tawbah from it. And if he has caused anybody any harm, any problem, any difficulty, then he must ask for forgiveness. It is very, very simple these days. Every person has got a cell phone. Cost a few rands, but make a call and ask for forgiveness. Now somebody said, Maulana, lots of people, they just ask for forgiveness, and then the next day again it is the same. So what is the benefit? Many big nights when they picked up the phone, they asked for forgiveness, then the whole year they didn't speak again. And then they asked for forgiveness again, and the whole year they didn't speak. So now we get people like that also, that if there is a problem, we must resolve the problem. It's not that you have to forgive everything. Somebody is owing a person a million rand. So he says, no, Maulana said, in the night of Barat, you must forgive everybody. So how? So what kind of a person you are that you're still asking me for a million rand? All forgiven now, all maaf. So it doesn't mean that. If a person is owing the money, he's got a right to it, then you can ask for it. But you should not break up the family ties. You must still make salam to the person, you must still talk, you must make dua for the person. And as far as that issue is concerned, resolve it. Sometimes that issue is such that your family cannot resolve it, the ulama cannot resolve it, and it may even go to the court. There's no problem. If the person has got a genuine right, and he does not want to overlook, does not want to forgive, he does not want to forget, and the person really wants his right, then he is entitled to it, to seek it, wherever he can seek it. Although the best is that the person should avoid demanding in such a way that it breaks up this family ties. The person should go out of his way to maintain family ties. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam promises that he will give, Allah Ta'ala will give the middle part of Jannah, the best part of Jannah, to that person who, although he is right, but he forgoes his right and he forgives the person. Forgiveness is so beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah tuhibbuna yaghfir Allahu lakum. Allah Ta'ala loves forgiveness, and therefore Allah Ta'ala says that don't you love also that Allah Ta'ala should forgive you. There's a whole story about Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Mista and everything else. I'm not going in that. So the issue can still be resolved. That can carry on. But to break up the family ties or to start swearing and cursing and using vulgar language and all that. So in this night, if the person has broken family ties, then at least phone and say, please make me maaf. The person says, what's the benefit of that? The benefit is this, that at least up till now, whatever happened is all maaf. Now if the next year he doesn't talk, and then that is different. Now so many people, they break up the family relationship or with some friends or somebody that they had a problem. And they say, I made it very clear that person mustn't even come to my janaza namaz. So I always ask that when his janaza is there, then will he raise his head from the janaza and check if that man was there? So then what is the benefit and advantage? He rather say that those people must come to my janaza. So at least one additional person will make dua of maghfirat for him. By saying that he must come, so at least you'll have one additional person in his janaza who will say, Allahumma ghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. So brothers, we have to depart from this world one day. Jo aaya hai yaan aaj kal jayega, koi dam mein ye dam nikal jayega. We have to leave this world. Jaisi karni vaisi varni, na maane to karke dek, jannat bhi hai dozakh bhi hai, na maane to mar ke dek. Whatever you are going to do, so you are going to reap. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. He says, if you don't believe this, there is Jannah, there is Jahannam. But if you don't believe it, So then when you die, then you will see it, that there is Jannat and there is Jahannam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give us an understanding. We ourselves have made our lives restless, full of problems and full of anxieties and worries. Now the only way out of all that is to turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Seek forgiveness for our sins. Pray. Shed tears of repentance. Now there are lots of other things, but I'm just leaving it out now and we are going to make dua. So it's a night in which we beg Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala Himself is asking, is there anybody seeking forgiveness? He wants to forgive. So we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for forgiveness, because we know that one day we have to depart from this world. And parents, if we have been disobedient to them, we ask them for forgiveness. And parents also should not demand such kind of things from the children. It's not that because we are parents, so therefore we can just demand, you must do this, you must do that, you must do that. They too also, the Shariat has given us a very clear guidance. And I will just mention this because it's very important. That all those people who listen in the big nights and other nights about parents' rights, so then they go home and they tell the wives, you heard what Maulana said, that's the right of my parents. Indeed, that's the right of the parents, but did Maulana say anywhere that is what your wife must do for your parents? One person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, my mother is gone old. I give her to eat, I make her drink, I put her on my shoulder and I take her wherever she wants to go. Even the tawaf he takes on the shoulder. He says, have I done my duty? He says, you haven't even done 1/100th of that duty. But Allah Ta'ala will reward you for what you are doing. But what did he say? He says, I am doing. We don't read the words of the Hadith Sharif clearly. What did that son say? He said, I am doing that. It was the right of the parents. So the child was fulfilling that right. He was doing the khidmat. He didn't impose on the wife that you must do all this for my mother. One person came to me, he says, Maulana, I'm looking for a wife. So I said, well, were you married? Your wife got divorced? Are you single? What? So then after that he says, no, I lost my wife, but I have 3 children. I'm not mentioning any name, and the person is not from this city and this province also. So he says, I lost my wife, I have 3 children, and I'm looking for somebody that will look after the children and look after my old mother also. So in other words, he's looking for a person to care for his children and for his mother. So is he looking for a wife then? So what I am saying is this, that the duty was upon the children. They must balance it. They must make the khidmat of their parents and they must fulfill the rights of their wives too. There is no question of beating up the wife and screaming and shouting at the wife when she did not do something that the husband wanted for his parents. That is a different thing altogether, that the wife, out of her own generosity, kindness, large-heartedness, she thinks that it will make my husband happy, so therefore she makes the khidmat. But then he must appreciate and they too must appreciate. They must not think that that was their right. This is what is causing the problem in the homes. There are homes in which 4 or 5 brothers are living and sisters, and they're wealthy, they've got everything. But now they say, no, our family, we all live together. There must be no separation of any kind. So therefore, if the new bride comes, she must also live in the same house. Now the pots are rattling, and the plates are cracking, and the fuses are blowing. So what is the sense of all that? Give them a separate home, let them live happily, and make it clear with them that this separation is so that there's unity. The separation is for the sake of unity. Now the people don't want to understand this. And then they say, Maulana's bayan was very good, but that only one thing which he said, must give them a separate home, Maulana, that we don't like. All the rest was very good. So there must be a balance. We must fulfill the rights of the parents too, and there's a lot of rights Allah Ta'ala has given to the wives also. And the wives also must fulfill the rights of the husband. So this is the way that we will be able to get some kind of peace and happiness in our lives. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد مبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, my most compassionate Allah, my most loving Allah, my most caring Allah, my most generous and kind Allah. Oh, my most beneficent, most merciful Allah. Oh, my most tolerant Allah. Oh, my most beautiful Allah. This Mubarak night we are extending our begging bowls before you. Oh, my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you with repentance. You yourself proclaim, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? Ya Allah, we who are your sinful servants on the surface of this earth, the most sinful ones on the surface of this earth, Ya Allah, we are seeking total forgiveness of all our sins. Ya Allah, we are acknowledging every sin of ours. Indeed, we have committed sins day and night. We have used your bounties for your disobedience day and night. How much of our sight for your disobedience? How much of our hearing for your disobedience? How much of our speech for your disobedience? Ya Allah, the great bounty of intelligence we used for so much of disobedience. Oh my beloved Allah, the great bounty of intelligence we used for so much of your disobedience. Oh my beloved Allah, our heart and mind for your disobedience, our hands and feet for your disobedience. If there had been any other Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. He would have sent the gale force winds against us. He would have sent the flood waters against us. He would have uprooted us from the ground. But my Allah, how loving you are. How forgiving you are. How merciful you are. How caring you are. How generous and kind you are. How tolerant you are. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us so much to eat. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us so much to drink. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with so much of your bounties. Oh my beloved Allah, in this Mubarak night, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive us, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the entire mankind. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat and guidance. Oh my Allah, there is no shortage in your jannat. There is no shortage in paradise for anyone. Ya Allah, bless the entire mankind with guidance and hidayat. Oh my beloved Allah, protect each and every one from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. We are turning towards you. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. There was no question of darkness for you. Even if a tiny little black ant has to crawl on a pitch black rock in the darkest of the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Oh Allah, how can you not be aware of our movements and our actions? You could have ordered the angel of death to extract our souls the moment we were indulging in any kind of sin or vice or evil. Ya Allah, what kind of embarrassment, shame and disgrace it would have brought upon us. But how loving you are. How forgiving you are. Ya Allah, in this night, open the floodgates of your forgiveness for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Oh my beloved Allah, don't seize us on account of our sins and our disobedience. Ya Allah, put your love into our hearts. Put your love into our hearts. Put so much of your love that it becomes extremely easy to do everything pleasing to you. Ya Allah, put so much love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it becomes extremely easy to obey him. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to do everything that is pleasing to you. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma, dil badal de. Oh Allah, you have given man the intelligence to make or to transplant hearts. Ya Allah, if you can give man the science of transplant of hearts, what is it difficult for you to transplant a spiritually sound heart into our bodies? The heart that is beating with your love and with your muhabbat, a heart that is beating with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you. You have given man the science of blowing up huge mountains with small dynamite sticks. Ya Allah, blow away the mountains of our sins. Ya Allah, the computer chip records millions of pieces of information. Just a press of the delete button and everything can disappear. Ya Allah, press the delete button of our sins. No one is going to question you that why did you forgive those who raised their hands in Laylatul Bara. Ya Allah, no one is going to question you. If you have to forgive us, we will become successful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will become happy. Ya Allah, you will become pleased. And if you do not forgive us, the only one that will become pleased will be shaitan. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in sajda, how much he cried in the night of Barat. Ya Allah, such long sajdas he made in the night of Barat. Ya Allah, how much of forgiveness he sought for the ummat in the night of Barat. Ya Allah, when he is informed that the ummat for whom you suffered so much, the ummat for whom you were stoned in Taif, the ummat for whom you suffered in Uhud, your teeth were shattered, you fell down unconscious. The ummat for whom when you stood in prayers, your feet swelled, thorns were placed in your path. The ummat for whom when you went into sajda in the haram, intestines of animals were placed on your back. Ah, the most parked person on earth. Ya Allah, the most purified of all persons. Ya Allah, the filth of animals is placed on his back in sajda in the haram sharif. Ya Allah, 3 solid years he was boycotted and ostracized. When he is informed that that ummat for whom you cried so much, the ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed, the ummat in discos, cinemas, theatres, gambling dens, adultery, fornication, porn sites on the internet, the ummat in filthy television programs, the ummat in taking and giving of interest, the ummat in all kinds of sins and vices, even in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, the ummat watching so much of haram on the television in the hotels and engaging in so much of other haram. Ya Allah, how much of injury and pain we are causing to my most beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tonight we are pledging before you, my Allah, that we will take off all evil from our lives and from our homes. Ya Allah, we do not wish to return to those sins anymore. Give us the himmat and the courage of lions against our nafs. Ya Allah, don't let us like be like the proverbial fox against our nafs. Make us like lions against our nafs. Oh my Allah, give us the realization that sins bring nothing but misery in our lives. Sins bring nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Sins bring nothing but corruption and fitnas. Ya Allah, give us the realization that it is only turning towards you and bringing into our lives the beautiful teachings of Islam that will bring peace and happiness in our lives. Ya Allah, make us make ibadat, make us fulfill our obligation of salat 5 times a day, to fast in the month of Ramadan, to give zakat if due, to go for hajj if farz. Ya Allah, protect us from adultery, from fornication. Ya Allah, protect us from taking and giving of interest. Protect us from the cinemas and theatres and gambling dens and all kinds of haram. Ya Allah, give us the realization that the angel of death can strike suddenly and anywhere. What, my beloved Allah, if the angel of death has to strike when the person is committing adultery, or when the person is in fornication, or when the person is watching some filth on the porn site. Oh my Allah, don't cause any kind of embarrassment, shame and disgrace to come upon us. Ya Allah, if our name is in the list of the dead, if it is handed over to the angels, then my Allah, let it be such that when the time of our death comes, then we are in Madina Sharif. So that we die in Madina Sharif. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he will rise. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar will rise. And then 70,000 people from the graveyard of Madina Sharif will rise. Ah Allah, make us from amongst them. Make us from amongst them. Ya Allah, so that when the winds of Rahmat are blowing over the graveyard of Madina Sharif, we too may be forgiven. But if our death is not destined there, don't let it be in a disco or cinema or theatre or gambling den or any kind of haram. Ya Allah, how many people in the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are dying in haram places? Ya Allah, their souls are being extracted in haram places. Ya Allah, hamare hal par raham farma. Have mercy upon us, my beloved Allah. Have mercy upon us, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you good health. Whoever is sick and ailing, give them shifa. There are so many who have met up with accidents. There are so many who have undergone operations. There are so many who are going to undergo operations. Ya Allah, there are so many in hospitals, in clinics, in homes and amongst us who are suffering from different kinds of physical ailments. We know that sometimes it can be a mercy in disguise. But we are extremely sinful servants of yours. My beloved Allah, give us good health. Change the rahmat of sickness to the rahmat of good health. Ya Allah, whoever is sick and ailing, give them shifa. Also, our hearts are diseased spiritually by Allah. Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance. My beloved Allah, our hearts are filled with envy, with jealousy. Our hearts are filled with all kinds of evil passions and desires. Oh, my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Tere siwa koi sahara nahi. Ay Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. There is no one for us besides you, my beloved Allah. If you are ours, then everything will work in our favor. If you are not ours, nothing will work in our favor. Oh, my beloved Allah, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Koi mujhse puchhe, main kya mangta hu. Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jaau uska. Yehi raat din mein dua. My beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Don't allow any kind of suffering, humiliation, disgrace and punishment to come upon us. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering of the ummah around the globe. Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia. Oh, my beloved Allah, which part of the world the ummah is not suffering? Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering. Oh, my Allah, let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. Remove the suffering of mankind around the globe. Whoever has been suffering due to flood or to gale force winds or different kinds of sicknesses, AIDS and other problems. Ya Allah, remove the suffering of mankind around the globe. Ya Allah, bless us all with a close connection with you. Make us all yours and become ours. Ya Allah, those who are suffering all kinds of problems, they are in financial difficulties, their businesses are failing. Ya Allah, they have got no employment. Bless each and every one of them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove their difficulties and their suffering. Those who have no children, make their children pious and righteous. If they have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. It is not difficult for you to give guidance and hidayat. Ya Allah, those who have children, make them pious and righteous. Make them obedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the parents. Oh, my beloved Allah, those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who are weak, give them strength. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of family members. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let the winds of rahmat and mercy blow throughout the continents. Oh, my beloved Allah, ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. We have to leave this world one day. Let us leave in a state that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, let us leave this world in a state that you are pleased with us. Oh, my beloved Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much he loved the ummah. How much he prayed for the ummah. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives, in our time. All those who have passed away, my beloved Allah. So many people have lost their parents, their children, their wives, their friends, their family members. And in the ummah, so many have died. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one who has passed away. Fill their graves with noor. Ya Allah, fill their graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Oh, my beloved Allah. When the time of our departure comes, let there be La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Let us leave this world in a state that you are pleased with us. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. In all his life, my beloved Allah, he asked you for protection. Ya Allah, all the protection that he asked for the Ummah, bless us with that protection. Ya Allah, protect us from all the kinds of fitnas, corruption and mischief that is prevalent. Ya Allah, protect us from the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And Ya Allah, you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the test, the trial, the sicknesses, the diseases that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night is undergoing. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, Ya Allah, remove their suffering, their pain, their problem. Ya Allah, make a decision of khair for us tonight. Ya Allah, if we are going to live many, many years in this world, or we are going to live for a very little time, you only are aware. Whatever life is gone. The life that remains, let us be your true and obedient servants. Ya Allah, let us be your true and obedient servants. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين